Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, May 23rd. Governor Jared Polis has signed a bill that aims to narrow the pay gap between men and women. KVNF's Scott Franz has more.
The Equal Pay for Equal Work Act lets workers sue their employers if they're being underpaid because of their gender. And employers can no longer ask prospective employees for their salary history. Democratic Representative Janet Buckner says she sponsored the bill to benefit her three granddaughters.
We all know what a difference it makes in self-worth when you are paid what you deserve.
The Institute for Women's Policy Research estimates that in 2016, women working full-time in Colorado made 86 cents for every dollar a man made. I'm Scott Franz.
The Denver Post is reporting that the statewide snowpack is a whopping 202% of its season-to-date average as of Tuesday. This year's snowpack is approximately five times larger than it was a year ago at this time. Some parts of the state are running at more than three times their typical snow levels for the third week of May. In the San Juan Mountains, snowpack was at 302% of its season-to-date average. Colorado's big winter and its impacts on the state's snowpack have been known for months. Preliminary data suggests that the statewide snow water equivalent level is around 13.5 inches, more than double the median for this date. It is the highest snow water equivalent since 2011. This week's winter storm dumped several inches of snow on the mountains, during a time of the year that the big spring melt is usually underway. That's helping boost snow totals as a percentage of the season-to-date average and further prolonging the big melt. Some more light snow could fall across Colorado's higher elevations this week, but continued cooler-than-average temperatures will likely keep statewide snowpack levels exceptionally high through the Memorial Day weekend. And now with a feature story from KVNF News, here's Jody Peterson taking a look at what we can expect from this year's wildfire season.
The Western Slopes' winter of unusually deep snowpack has been followed by a cool, rainy spring. Summer and fall temperatures are forecasted to be pretty normal, rather than excessively hot like they were last year. And all that means, according to state wildfire experts, that Colorado can expect a wildfire season this year that's a little below average. That's good news, especially after the 2018 wildfire season, which was one of the most damaging in the state's history. More than 400,000 acres burned, and around 450 homes were destroyed. The cost of fighting those fires amounted to more than $40 million for the state, and the federal government spent three times that much. This cooler, wetter year presents a good opportunity to help reduce the risk of major wildfires in the future by giving land managers a chance to do prescribed burns to reduce the buildup of undergrowth and small trees that can help fuel big fires. Here's Lloyd Burton, Professor Emeritus of Law and Public Policy at UC Denver, who's focused on wildfire disaster management.
I think we have a little respite this fire season in that it looks like, you know, the soil moisture content's a good deal higher. The trees are in better shape because they've been well watered for the winter and are generally kind of healthier. This year presents a great opportunity to go in and do some serious mitigation work, because in years when it's really, really dry and you're in the middle of a drought, you're not going to want to run around the forest doing prescribed burning because there's too much risk of it getting away from you. This year, in our part of the Mountain West, where we may not need to be spending quite so much money fighting wildfires, to the extent it's possible, use those funds instead to do mitigation.
The state just issued its wildfire preparedness report, and I noticed in that report that it said that in the 1960s, wildfires in Colorado burned around 8,000 acres a year, that by the 1990s, that number had more than doubled. And then between the 1990s and the 2000s, it more than doubled again. So why is that? Why are so many more fires burning now?
There are probably a few things going on. One of them is that during that period of time, for the most part, the principal strategy with regard to wildfire management in Mountain West was suppression. Put every fire out as quickly as possible. We have that combined with changing climate. So the forests are becoming more fire prone, while at the same time, the only response to fire is suppression. And so what that means is that the fuel loads in the forests were getting thicker and thicker and more dangerous at the same time that, especially when we have periods of drought, the heat goes up, the undergrowth gets extremely dry, and that makes for conditions favorable for ever larger wildfires and especially with climate change, also ever longer fire seasons than we've had in the past. The other thing, of course, that's been going on in the Mountain West during those years is that there's been more and more interpenetration of residential and commercial and industrial development in the backcountry than there had been before. And in any area of the wildland-urban interface that you might enter, the most flammable elements of the landscape there are structures built by humans.
Nearly 3 million Coloradans live in those wildland-urban interface regions that Lloyd Burton was just discussing, and the risks and costs of firefighting rise steeply in these wildland-urban areas, as firefighters try to protect houses and human lives, even as they sometimes put themselves in danger. Although about two-thirds of wildfires in Colorado are caused by lightning strikes, the remainder are caused by humans, especially people living in those wildland-urban areas. Even though fire risk is less this year, state officials are still urging people to be careful. Here's Lloyd Burton again with more about how to keep yourself and your property safe from potential wildfires.
With regard to human structures, the two most important things you can do is to try to thin fuel loads from around your property. It's not like you have to turn your property into the moon, but you don't want to have highly flammable shrubs, for instance, grasses and trees right up against your home. So really thinning out the fuel load around your property is one thing, you know, to mitigate the likelihood of a fire coming through. And the other is to build fire-resistant structures or to retrofit existing structures with fire-resistant technology, like different kinds of siding and roofing, covering your gutters so you don't get duff piling up in your rain gutters, which is a great place for embers to drop and start a fire.
For KVNF News, this is Jody Peterson.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, May 23rd. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.